Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
That's right. I shouldn't say that. In loop right here on Sports Radio 610, trying to be a smarter broadcaster and not be drawn in to the filth and Florence filth that Sean and Seth left us. But no, it's a fantastic Tuesday here in loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Still feeling the vibe, still feeling good about an AFC South title as clinched on Sunday. And yes, again, I will lay myself at the mercy of the listener, as you can always get involved with the program on the text line, 713-572-4610. Many of you jumping very quickly up to say Reggie's an idiot. You didn't explicitly said that, but it was implied. Remember that Cinemax is it's part of the Warner Brother Discovery whole conglomerate. So that's there. Plus, a little added bonus, 210 let us know that Paramount Plus and Showtime are together because they're under the Paramount CBS umbrella. Big corporations, hooray. All right. Anyways, let's talk about sports as we are supposed to do on this very program. I want to go back again to this Texans team. 9-5, get a win against a Miami Dolphins team. But really, I think the big story going in, because there was a lot of fascination about this, especially with Juice Scruggs being out, then you have the practice window open up for Kenyon Green. He's just like, hey, surprise, Christian Harris, but also this guy over here. And then ultimately, we see musical chairs, which we had talked about a long time during the season, which was Titus Howard back to left guard, and then Blake Fisher, your rookie at right tackle. And I think it looked passable, downright passable in this game. And so we were talking about it. Like, this opened up a lot of questions about where do you go from here? And you seem very confident on the answer to that.
I do. Why would anybody want to change anything at this point? It's a very simple question. You're something of a cook, right? I'm not going to say that you're, chef.
I'm a little dangerous.
But you're a little dangerous.
I'm definitely no chef. I'm no one's chef.
Okay, so think of a dish that you tinkered with, and then you got it right. You're not going to change that recipe?
I would like to dig a little bit further into the feeling of got it right. Do we feel like
that, you feel like that's good? That is a really good dish I would share with people.
You said good and really good, and those are not the same thing.
Okay.
We got to be real careful. Let's talk about the Texas offensive line.
Let's go with really good.
Okay.
Let's go with really good.
Really good.
Why would you change it? Why would you change the recipe? Now, I'm not saying that really good dish you made is going to be three Michelin star at a restaurant, but it's really good. Okay, why are you going to change that recipe?
Do you feel like the offensive line was really good?
That's the thing. I'm
talking to Reggie about okay. Something. We can make the comparison.
No,
if you want to just call it good, passable, promising. You know, maybe
or edible.
Edible, promising. Well, edible's a little bit of a shot, but I'll just put it that way. Like you know, they got the recipe right. I'm not going to say it's great, but they got it right. It worked. You know, the running game needs work. You can dabble with that, tinker with that a little bit if you want.
And we probably need to talk more about that as well.
But you've got a quarterback that looked vastly more confident. You've got pass protection that was much improved. You had short fields, and maybe your offense wasn't exactly lighting it up, but you converted some in the red zone. Why are you going to change that?
Well, I think, one, to use the metaphor, to go back to the metaphor that you established to start this segment, I mean, we're not talking about potatoes and carrots and garlic. We're talking about humans, and I think that that also is a part of this. One of the things that I found interesting is that the coaching staff, I think D'Amico mentioned this, and I'm trying to remember if CJ also mentioned this, but I know D'Amico specifically mentioned it in his media availability yesterday, saying, you know, putting out there his appreciation for Tytus Howard moving out of position to play at left guard.
Yeah.
And that felt significant, right? I think that that's something that D'Amico Ryans, being a somewhat of a player's coach, being a dude who, you know, seemingly
he did him a solid,
cares about his guys, would have said to his guys regardless, right? Hey, appreciate you moving out. I know that that's not an easy move, right? I've heard other offensive linemen compare switching sides, like wiping your hands with the other, wiping your keister, rather, with the other hand. Like, it's just odd. Like, it's something that technically you can do. It's the same. It's really is the same thing, but it's
different.
It's odd, right? Yeah, it's really different. And so playing left guard, even though he played it last year, that is a pretty stark departure from what he was doing, right? But making that a public note made me feel like, oh, yo, this is a significant thing, and that it will continue to be an ask to be like, hey, stay there, especially if the option it does arise that Juice Scruggs can't come back. I think that that is like the human element is part of it.
There is a human element.
I hear what you are saying about the idea that, hey, this seems to be something, and going further to that, right, somebody pointed to the idea that you always want continuity with the offensive line, right? Yeah. So maybe you go, hey, keep this together. But also you could say, let's get back to the continuity that we had established before an anomaly, right, and an injury to Juice Scruggs took him away from that continuity that you
had. Let me ask you this, and they're probably asking themselves and have asked themselves this in the meeting rooms. Is this something you want to see again? Is this offensive line something you want to see again? The answer is absolutely yes.
Absolutely.
100. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that it was very good, really good, however I put it, but it's something you definitely want to see again.
I would agree.
And there is, right, and there is a human element, but we always hear it. This is a business.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that there are high stakes. There's a lot of money involved, et cetera. And listening to D'Amico Ryans on the coach's show yesterday, you know, the way he was talking about not just, you know, Tytus Howard in the line, but Blake Fisher at right tackle, I mean, that's kind of what opened my eyes.
Yeah, good example of complimentary football.
My bad, that's the wrong one. That's Kasarian.
But D'Amico on the coach's show.
Because of the shortened week, we did get both. We got the double drop.
Yeah.
We got the coach's coffee with coach. I was about to say coaches with coffee. But coffee with coach.
I got
with D'Amico. And then you also got Nick Kasarian talking at the same time. But no, this one is actually what you were looking for.
Yeah, really liked the way, you know, our offensive line played. Blake got the most snaps he's played. Star first start. And I thought he did a really good job of handling himself. I mean, did a great job in pass protection. Tytus stepping over to left guard, thought he did really good job. Just overall, collectively as a group, there's still things to grow and improve from, but making that call is always tough. Like, who are we going with? And, you know, the main thing I always tell our guys, can we get I want our best five guys out there. And I felt like for this week, that was our best five guys. And I thought our guys did a really good job of stepping up, giving us time, giving us the time we needed and protection and make some plays, and we'll still got room to grow, things to improve upon, but man, I like the start. I like the group.
Man, first of all, thanks for listening, D'Amico. I said that exact same thing yesterday.
I also love that he said
best five guys.
Well, he said this week. He made sure that
he did. That's a kind of a shout out.
I'm not going to throw
anybody under the bus here.
But I also I did find that to be interesting.
Right. I mean,
that's worth. I don't know if that's like just an interesting note and move on, or if that's something that is meaningful. But I just wanted to point out.
I heard it as he likes this group.
Sure.
He likes the best five guys that are in this group, and he wants to see it again. I want to see it again, and I think we're going to see it again, whether Juice Scruggs is back or not. That's not to say Juice Scruggs is not in their plans. But for now, and moving forward, this is the group.
Yeah, and this is always the consideration with anything we talk about with the offensive line this year. It's all relative. From the 979 on the text line, you call that good, 181 total yards, you could probably take off, 30, 40 off of that? because of the fake punt where Dare picks up a whole bunch of yards and almost fumbles. I mean, his arm was down, right? Ground can't cause a fumble, all that. I get it. But, yeah, you have that. And I understand that. Did not have a lot of yards. Did not move the football a ton, although they got some short fields. But here's the thing. Comparatively and qualitatively, this did feel like a better offensive line performance than most of what we've seen this year. Obviously, early on in the season where you actually see them being able to run the football, that's nice, right? Yeah. And we haven't seen that very much since. But one of the things that vividly I continue to see in my mind's eye is that semicircle that you kind of get when a pocket is held up nicely.
Yes.
Right? And we have not seen that nearly as much. And usually that semicircle is getting really tight on CJ Stroud, and he's having to pull his eyes down. There was a couple of snaps where that happened, so I don't want to make it seem like it is all like fixed. But it did feel like there was more of that clean pocket
there
that
was.
You would hope for in this game. And in addition to that, I think that you asked me yesterday, like, if there's a level of optimism for this offensive line configuration. I think that there is. And I sent you one clip, you and Figgy.
I wanted
last
to ask
night,
you about that.
As I was pouring through the All 22, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm some like super tape junkie that actually knows exactly what's happened. I'm just kind of looking over.
Come
to
on,
get
man.
A
you was
up
3 in the morning watching this tape.
Yeah, it wasn't 3. On, it was 10:45, all right? I eventually got to 3, but that was doing other stuff.
Something else.
But one of the things that was encouraging was you see Titus at one point, and I can't remember exactly what the play was. It was a play that ran to the left, and ultimately, Jarrett Patterson, not quite getting a block together was one of the reasons why this didn't go for a bigger gain, even though they're in the red zone, is that, you know, Joe Mixon had to do a little dancing around. But if you look towards the left side of the line, Laremy Tunsil alongside Titus Howard, they are moving dudes.
Yeah.
Now, it takes a second for them to get, you know, build up and develop that momentum of push. But once they do, they're pushing dudes down the field. And when was the last time it feels like you actually saw the left side of that line, or really anywhere on the line, get into a dude's chest plate and then begin pushing them backwards in a run play situation.
Yeah. And that leads to two questions I have for the 979 and anyone who thinks along those lines. You call that good 181 total yards is what he said. I got two questions for you and anyone thinking along those lines. I get it. We talked about it yesterday. 181 yards is not exactly, steamrolling people. But do you want to go back to the other line? But that's one of the questions I have for you. Would you rather? Okay, is your answer then? Let's go back, because mine's not. And my second question is, I think it's more important. You know, what did your eyes tell you? Don't even look at the offensive line. Look at what you saw from CJ Stroud. That was a more confident quarterback. That was a more confident quarterback behind this offensive line. That was a more confident quarterback. You laid out the pocket. Certainly, the way he moved in it. The way he moved out of it. He wasn't necessarily running for his life. He was trying to find time. He looked like a more confident. If you go back to the other line, I don't know. Do you know how C.J. Stroud's going to look behind the line that really had him running for his life?
I don't know, and I don't know that I can fully isolate the variable on this offensive line being why that is.
But he looked more confident.
He did, and I do think that some of that is probably just like the opportunity to have a bye week, have a little bit more time of prep, assuming that he did some level of prep. I don't know that for certain.
Yeah.
But just being a little bit more, have a little R&R, because I think also that you know, mentality that seemed like he had, or like the way that he was kind of heaping pressure on himself, or at least it feels like it had affected him. But it did feel like, hey man, having a little bit more comfort in that pocket probably helps that. And so, yeah, no, I'd like to see that. And yes, how does the offensive line play good and only get 146 yards? That is something that continues to perplex about this team. Like, I'm not here to tell you this offensive line was anywhere near great, right? Like, it's still very evident that this thing is being dragged along by defense. You had 4 turnovers and scored 20 points, right? You can't necessarily in any way go around and say that this offense was great. But when it comes to trying to put together some level of makeshift foundation to push you in a place to have a better opportunity at offense, it feels like, hey, that was more clean pockets than we've seen of late. And at least I know that Titus Howard has some power. I made him Titus Howard. Titus Howard has some power in there. Can he transfer that? Can he use it effectively? I saw one play that I mentioned to you guys where I saw that. They still didn't run the ball well, right? I'm not going to be sit here and pretend like they absolutely did. But does this give you a possibility of that? Yes. Am I really reaching on these possibilities when we're like headed into week 16 of the season trying to find something? Yes, I understand that. But all of that coming together, I do wonder if, like, yeah, this line doesn't give you the best opportunity.
I think they got something cooking right here. I don't think they was better than before, but I do think they got some. We was talking about food earlier. Mm-hmm. I do think they have their ingredients right here. I ain't going to sit here and say this is a great meal, but they got the ingredients. They just got to figure out how to make it a great meal.
Maybe because, a little less of this and a little more of that.
Yeah, maybe it's a little too much salt.
Yeah, but I you got know. The right.
But yeah, because they got the they had the pocket clean, but the running game, they got to get the running game started, man.
Well, and the other part here is that, look, the defense won the game. You know, if you say who won the game, offense, defense, defense won the game. We know that. We talked about
with it. With a sprinkle of special teams.
We'll continue with a sprinkle of special teams, yes. But that also leads to the fact of how do you only get 181 yards, 146 by the offense, you know, outside of the fake punt. Well, the defense winning the game gave you a lot of short fields. You know what? You know, if some of those were punts, we don't know, you know, what this offense. All I know is what we saw, and we saw an offensive line that was that I don't want to go back to the other one.
I mean, you still know. had what, five punts in this game as sure. Texas. Like, you still weren't incredible, right? And some of that was, you know, you did not give yourself, we weren't able to convert on third down at a super high rate. But also, I did appreciate, and it was one of the things that we noted in the press box. I'm trying to recall if we noted this yesterday on the show. They didn't end up in third and long nearly as much as they had prior, which, again, that represents some level of development. Like, how much do you want to put that on the offensive line itself, like the execution of that, and then also Bobby Slowick, right? We can have that conversation. Mm-hmm. But there are very small signs of progress. And I understand that, talking about very small signs of progress at this late stage in the season, right? I'm not that's not going to make people move in a huge way. But it's what I have to look for to try and find any way possible to scratch out more efficiency out of what this offense has been.
Yeah, and it goes back to how I started this conversation. Why would you go back? Let's say you're like, okay, they only got 100 whatever yards of offense. Why would you go back after what you saw? Give me a good reason. Yeah. Is Juice Scruggs the answer in the run game? No. The general manager says he's a better center than a guard. Is Zach Thomas there? Well, they tried him in practice, and they went with Titus Howard making a move. So this isn't that good, guys. All right, so why? What's your reason? What's your reason for going back?
To me, it seemed like it's a balance thing, man. Yeah. Because earlier this year, you remember CJ was getting beat up pretty much, but the run game was all right. Yeah. Now it seemed like CJ, or at least this last game, CJ was protected. And the run game, not really that good. It seemed like they just got to find that balance.
Yeah.
So, I don't want CJ to get beat up, but I just think they got to find that balance where they can run the ball and keep him protected.
And best of luck finding all of that, because I think the undercurrent with all of this is just, I don't know how far this offense actually gets you. In fact, we'll talk more about that as we continue this program, too, because it does feel like, again, not only is the defense the better part of this team, like, is this defense going to have to drag you, and how far is that? How far is that? Is possible or liable to go with that kind of structure? But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Tuesday. In fact, it'll be a Texans ticket Tuesday, right? I understand that you're playing a road game against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, but the next game is on a quick turnaround. So we will give away in the noon hour a couple of tickets to Christmas Day, where I believe Beyonce will be in the building.
Beyonce concert.
That's
man.
A big time matchup against the Baltimore Ravens, and we'll do that in the 12 o'clock hour, so keep it locked here on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, for the Rockets, scoring is still clearly an issue. What are the ways that could improve? We'll talk about that next.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He has hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready, because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Tuesday to you. You are in the loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Tuesday. A Texans ticket Tuesday. Yes, indeed. If those prices are looking a little too pricey for you, for the Christmas Day game versus the Baltimore Ravens. Well, this is the place to be all day long. You heard
Wait,
it.
Wait, what's going on that day? You said that Ravens and Texans get?
Yeah, they're
opening. That's the Beyonce.
They're opening for Beyonce. Beyonce.
Yeah, that's the Beyonce game.
Yeah, they're opening for Beyonce. On
featuring is Beyonce
featuring
and the Pips.
The Houston Texans.
Yeah, the Beyonce and the Pips.
Oh man, but yeah,
I'm Beyonce and these are the Houston Texans.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Ravens.
I'm Beyonce from Houston, Texas. We like to tighten up. If you were trying to go to that game, couple of opportunities today. You missed one earlier in with Payne and Pendergast. We'll give you another opportunity in the 12 o'clock hour to win a couple of tickets to the bullpen for at NRG Stadium for that game. And then, of course, there'll be another one in the drive with Clint Ron. So a few opportunities to get you out to the game, as Sports Radio 610 loves doing for you with these Houston Texans. Always get involved with the program. The text line is up and running, 713-572-4610, as is the YouTube and the Twitch chat. Those are also there for you. Someone also mentioned, and I appreciated this a lot, enjoyed the team, getting Tank Dell more involved, sweeps and returns.
Yes,
more targets.
Yes and yes.
Yeah, definitely some more targets. One of the things I did notice in watching a whole bunch of film, sometimes I do wonder if those routes could be crisper.
For Tank? I think Tank runs a good route.
Sometimes I do.
Maybe he's regressed a little bit, but I think that's one of his has been. I mean, you saw it. I didn't. I didn't go into the All-11 yesterday. I think that was one of his strengths. By the way,
You got an update on tickets?
300 level on the 10-yard line. $659.
Okay, so you definitely want to keep it locked here, baby.
I guarantee you, I don't think we got no 300 level. I think it's a lot better.
Yeah, right. We got it on the field, man.
I think.
Well, not on the field.
Well, like not literally on
the
field.
Yeah, I was about to say, we can't do that for you.
Is it bullpen tickets?
It's always okay. Been. Okay. Unless I'm misspeaking, I'm sure Parker will let me know.
Yeah, he'll be in here shortly. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about this Rockets team. Unfortunately, they lost in the semifinals of the NBA Cup on Saturday. That final game happens tonight versus between the Thunder and the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm actually really interested in this game, but I'm also a basketball sicko. I understand that. But when it comes back to the local team, the Houston Rockets, they won't play again until Thursday. But I mean, there's something that was made evident by that semifinal game, which is offense is still very much an issue. That was a number one defense versus number two defense. And for the first half, it looked like it, right? And then the second half, you could see the Thunder, as we mentioned. This is a team that, you know, has the superstar, that has some more offensive talent, and they've been at these levels of competition, and they pulled away from your Rockets team. And there's that, but then you can also look at some of the shooting trends for the Rockets and see that offense still very much an issue, and shooting in particular. Rockets are the only team that ranks in the bottom 10 in field goal percentage in the paint, mid-range, and three-point range. Is there anywhere else you can score from?
Pretty much every level of the floor, they're bottom 10.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, that speaks to, you know, a lot of these old adages and axioms are based in truth. You get down to the final, look, nobody's you know, raising a red flag here. But you might be reaching for it a little bit if you're talking about playing at the highest level.
Well, when you're talking about the idea of games
like Oklahoma City.
Yeah, really and truly competing this year, which I don't think anybody fully anticipated. The idea was just, hey, this is a playoff team, have an opportunity to really test your mettle. And honestly, I think from the front office's perspective, really find out truly what you have in a lot of these players and a lot of these players collectively with this team. And figure out what you absolutely need. And right now, shooting is one of the big things that you write up on the whiteboard and you circle, maybe underline a few times. Because as evidence, right, it's not been good on all these levels. What are some of the places where this could improve? And I think the first thing that's very obvious is, well, didn't you draft a dude who is there to shoot in some ways in Reed Shepard? And I think that was one of the interesting nuggets of the NBA Cup run, is that when you got to elimination games, Reed Shepard sat down.
Yeah.
Right? They opted for Aaron Holiday, a dude who's a little bit more experienced, that has a better ball handling and maybe better decision making in those instances. And it made me think even more about Reed Shepard and his role as the arc that he's had, which was, early on in the season, they tried to make him a ball handler to help him find some space on the floor, to also make sure that you're not giving up too much size with having another point guard on the floor with him. And that didn't work all too well because he's a rookie and having to handle ball handling duty, try and play make for others, and find the right time to shoot. That's a lot to ask of him. They move him off ball, maybe make him more of a shooter in true sense, where he's off ball with those things. But then you're giving up some size there, and even the shooting-wise, like I think the first month, which you had more of that first kind of experiment, His shooting, I was looking at his splits. His shooting was low 30s. October, he was actually shooting 38, right? So he was shooting a little bit better, and it's tracked down. It was 36 in the month of November, and then December, where he's only played four games, to be honest, shooting 31%. I think that's one of the places where, as you find him more comfortable, if you can find him more spaces to play, give him some minutes to kind of build his way into some of these games, and hopefully if he can find some defense to stay on the floor, that could be a place that could help, is having just a little bit more spacing, because you don't have very much. Your spacing currently consists of, like, Dylan Brooks, who's a solid shooter. Mm-hmm. Fred VanVleet, who has not been shooting very well on his open shots comparatively. I'll get you those stats here in a second. Jabari Smith, who's been all right, like, mm-hmm. spacing. And then, like, Jalen Green, funny enough, doesn't seem to get those spacing opportunities, because there's not often that he's playing off ball and getting shots as a, like, catch and shoot.
Yeah. The funny thing about Reed Sheppard is you have to start asking yourself how much of it is, oh, he's a rookie, he's learning, and how much of it is the game is reaching this level is just a different game for him. We'll have that discussion. I don't think it's time yet, but you brought him in to help shooting. Shooting is your issue. You just laid it out, you know, bottom 10 at every level on the floor. And you're not getting any help from guys that you're expecting help. I mean, you know, Jalen Green shooting 39% overall, 31% from three-point range would be one. And when you get, that's why I said, when you get into this level, you can get away with that against a lot of teams. But when you get to this level, like the Oklahoma City game, some higher level games, some high leverage games, you know, coaches often go to not what they're calling, but who they're calling. You know, they go to players, not plays.
Yeah.
Who are you going to?
I don't know that you have, like, real confidence in that. Like, right? Alperen Şengün has been the answer most recently mm-hmm. in those post-ups, and that's a lot to kind of expect from him, right? And I think that that's tough. I think Fred VanVleet, for me, is one of those interesting places, because I know Adam Spillane earlier in the week, and I'm trying to see if I can recall it, because I, you know, thought about it in the moment, and I can't find the exact number, but one thing I do recall about this without the exact numbers of it was that, oh, here it is. Over the last few years on wide open threes, mm-hmm. right? Obviously not having that defender on you. I will take it back a couple of seasons. So what, three seasons ago, 42% on wide open threes. Two seasons ago, 40% mm-hmm. on wide open threes. Last year, 43% on wide open threes. This year, 34%.
Yeah.
Right? I think that is one of those instances where someone like Fred, when you have those opportunities, knock them down, because those become even more vital. And you can even bring this back around to the rest of the team, where in those last two games, those cup games, those were the 18th and 19th times that they shot worse than expected mm-hmm. based on the quality of shot. That's an advanced tracking number. But basically what it's saying is, when you get to certain spots, there's an average that's expected shooting on those. They've shot worse than that in these games. And so some of this might just be a regression to the mean, positive regression with the quality of shots that you get, especially mm-hmm. with someone like Fred VanVleet, that you know is a decent shooter. With some of those guys like Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith, some of that might be helpful. Hopefully getting Reed involved a little bit more. And then hopefully, and this has been the one that's been odd for me, the idea that they are bottom 10 in field goal percentage at the rim is one of those weird ones. Because you've got guys that can attack there, and then Alperen Şengün has some post moves that he commits to memory that he can really work with. But when you get that opportunity, I understand there's going to be a lot of offensive rebounds, but you got to be able to make some of those shots in tight. And so I think that there needs to be an uptick there. If you can find a way to score better at the basket, those mm-hmm. high percentage shots there, that'll also help you off.
No, that will. And that's something that, you know, they've struggled with in the past, and they're certainly struggling with it again. You know, but I will say, you know, you asked the question of you know, how do you get better? How do you improve on that? I think the next five games is a good testament. They've got a weak part of the schedule coming up. They got two games against the Pelicans.
Pelicans might be one of the most, like, they, I was about to say, they're almost like the Detroit Lions here, but the Detroit Lions still finding a way to be good through the various injuries that mm-hmm. they have offensively and defensively. The Pelicans are just, you know, writhing in pain. They look like last year's Memphis Grizzlies, where with all of the injuries that they have, that have kind of just, you know, really stopped and stunted their development.
Yeah, you have the Pelicans twice. You have the Raptors, also not very good. Timberwolves, and then the Hornets. So, yeah, the six games against these five teams, five games against these four teams is a good place to get started. But I say again, like, it, you know, got to have it fourth quarter push. Who's getting the ball?
Yeah, and I think that's the bigger question that I think has led to very many people outside of this Rockets team, because not inside mm-hmm. this Rockets team, but other people outside of them looking at,
oh, there are star players out there that you can maybe be that guy that you roll the basketball to and say, hey, we need a bucket in this situation. This team still seems to believe that they can see if they can draw some of this out. And Jalen Green is the one that specifically is there. I know that there was a few pieces written this weekend over with Mark J. Spears and then also Sam Amick about the development that he has shown under Ime Udoka. It'll be interesting to see because, again, consistency is the name of the game with him. We know that he can do it. Will he do it consistently is what's necessary, especially when you don't have as much help offensively all the way around this team. But, yeah, that begins Thursday when I believe you said the Pelicans.
Thursday
night. You get to see the first forays into life after an NBA Cup Part 2 is crowned and see how the Rockets, rather, continue to try and address shooting and offense. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. In some ways, it's a return to the Texans because we've had so much fun watching Danielle Hunter break out these spin moves. He's become a spin move aficionado, which got us thinking, what are your favorite signature moves in sports all time? 713-572-4610. We'll go through those next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, question of the day, inspired by Danielle Hunter's spin move. What is your favorite signature move of all time? 713-572-4610 is a place you can get at us. Also, the YouTube, Sports Radio 610 on YouTube, there for you as well, where you can also check out all sorts of other videos as well. So let us know. But I really want to dig into this. Somebody also, pursuant to our last conversation about the Rockets, rather, offense and where it could possibly get better, they mentioned, why is it that all of the Houston offenses seem to have some little level of problem?
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
That's a great question.
Like, everybody defense is good.
We don't do offense in Houston.
Yeah.
Well, I was about to say everybody defense. The Astros defense wasn't the best.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They had trouble on both.
Yeah. Which one is it most egregious, the offense? Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
The offense?
It's not the Astros from last year?
No.
Where you're rolling out Bregman, and I know Tucker missing time, but Tucker and Altuve and Yordan and Yainer. Like, at least half of your lineup.
Yeah.
The other pitchers, like, bleep. Like, I mean, if we get past them.
They were high expectations, you know, on the Astros, but this was supposed to be, like,
five-headed monster.
Greatest show on turf kind of stuff. Yeah, Texans, for sure.
Anyways, let's get back to these signature moves. As Danielle Hunter has just been, he's continued to awe us with that spin move that he's drawn out there. So that got us going. And of course, we got to start as it's come in all over the text line. It's on the
YouTube. Want to say it at once?
One, two, three.
Dream shake.
That's right. That's right, baby. We are in Houston. We cannot forget.
I didn't even look at the text.
Got to, man. Like, and one of the things was that I love how futile, like, a great signature move makes the opposition look. And Hakeem the Dream made them. He made them look like they had seen an alien. Like, wait, why can your legs
do that?
Right?
How'd you do that?
Like, why exactly do your legs work that way?
Yeah.
Is how that worked. That looked all the damn time. So I appreciated that. Is there any ones that came to mind for you outside of
the Green Skyhook?
I got some old school. I got some old school and some new, relatively new school. Skyhook for sure is one. The George Gervin finger roll. I had the Dream Shake, of course. Relatively new school, not like at current era. I used to love the Dirk.
The flamingo fadeaway.
And I hate the Mavericks. You guys know how I feel about it. I hate the Mavericks. But, man, I was like, that is just an unstoppable shot. Manu and James Harden, Euro.
Euro step. I'm trying to think. I feel like Manu's. Was Manu's better or was James's better?
James said he learned it from Manu.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
But he can make it better, though.
He could have made it better.
Yeah. So his was probably better.
Manu was no slouch.
8-3-2 said prime Harden step back.
Nah, I still like his Euro. I still like his Euro better.
Where that ball gets down low, and he's just like, go ahead and hit me if you want. Go ahead and send me to the line.
Yeah, opposing fans always. Yeah, he's traveling. He traveled. They never called travel on him.
How about you?
I've got a list of them where some of them, I wanted to make sure I got like actual signature moves because some of them I also don't know are signature moves. Like, help me litigate this one. We were talking about this weekend. Le'Veon Bell. Like, just the slow read before he decided.
Getting the ball and just sitting there.
Just standing there.
And just like, what is he doing? He break out for 12 yards.
That's a good one. I hadn't thought of that one.
That's a great one. Yeah.
It's such a hilarious claim to be able to make that I never ran once in my career. Like, it can't be true. Like, I never ran full speed, in my career. Like, that's something that Le'Veon Bell says. And the idea that it's plausible is insane to me. Some other ones that I was thinking of, Troy Polamalu jumping over the line. Does that count as a signature move?
Yeah, he did it enough times.
All right, so the one that I landed on is, like, definitely a signature move. The Kobe Bryant, like, spin jumper, mm-hmm. where he posts you up, he gives you that little, and then he gives you the little spin. Yeah.
Kind of gives you a little dream shake.
Away. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It definitely had some dream shake. I definitely worked on that in front of the house quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then the one that I think Wesley on the YouTube got to that I was like, I don't know if that counts as a signature move, but it counts to me. When Randy Moss would get off the line, and before he even passed you, that hand go up, like, I'm open. The hand go up, like, hey, chuck it up there, dog. I got it. That one makes me smile at any given time.
Throw the ball, I'm open, I'll get it. And then you get mossed, which is obviously, you know, a signature move as well. Yeah. Iverson crossover comes in.
Classic.
Absolute classic. J.J. Watt and Mutombo finger wag.
Yeah, finger wag.
Mm-hmm.
Finger wag's good.
Stone Cold Stunner. I'll take it.
Yeah, I was like,
I'll take it.
The wrestle in this. I was like, I didn't want to go all the way to the wrestle of this, but hey, man, I understand.
It's a sport.
Right.
It's a sport.
Speaking of wrestle moves, a wrestle move was kind of spoken to a little bit in the Texans game. As I think it was Ted Wynn, who covers football. He does real all 22 analysis for The Athletic and some other writing. He was looking at some of the film, and you remember the forced fumble that happened with Tua. It started with the bull rush by D'Nico Autry.
Oh, yeah.
That bull rush had D'Nico Autry with his hand all the way up in the right guards, basically in his neck. I feel like you can't litigate this afterwards, right?
No,
like, we won't be hearing from John Runyon. No, okay.
Well, you never know.
But it looked like he had him on the Undertaker. Was it the what's the damn name of the? I know that there's people like, come on, you know it. It's the powerbomb thing that he did. I forgot what it's called. The
Tombstone.
The Tombstone. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I was like, I know it's. It's with the thing, you know, the stuff. That one got pulled up. Somebody said the tush push signature.
That's
move.
Fair.
Yeah,
absolutely fair. They've perfected it, and nobody does it like them. Jeff Hornacek wiping his face before a free throw. God, that drove me nuts.
What about the Karl Malone talking to the ball? Basketball.
That too.
Nothing Karl Malone will be saluted by me ever. If there's one thing that I will absolutely, I don't know how hard Vern goes on this. I know he goes hard on the state of Utah in general, but I'm just going to transfer that over. I am the Vern Maxwell to Karl Malone. If there is ever just one hater of Karl Malone on this earth, it'll be me. I promise.
You and Vernon.
That's right. You owe $10,000 then, Vernon.
Well, I don't know about that. Usain Bolt arrow pull.
That one.
Yeah. Tony Gonzalez dunking the basketball.
Yep.
Yeah, he kind of started that. Absolutely. Well, he redefined it, I should say.
Yeah, I think you get fined for doing that now. I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I think somebody's going to break his record. A tight end's going to break his record.
Yeah.
And I think he said he'd pay the fine if he did it or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that is true.
Fair enough from the 832 saying the Kobe fadeaway is just him copying Jordan. Absolutely. I think
that's a signature move.
One of the things that I've often said about the Kobe thing is that, yes, he was out here just blatantly copying. Like, he was biting off of Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I will say in his defense and to his credit is everybody was trying to bite off of Michael Jordan, and it is a supreme compliment that we could actually see it.
His worked the most, though.
Right, exactly. We were like, oh, this actually looks like Jordan compared to everybody else that was trying to be Jordan. And it was just like, I guess.
Yeah. You're trying. You get an A for effort.
I like the Michael Jordan sticking the tongue out whenever you make a move to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Which is funny because you know what I absolutely don't like? And maybe it's just because it feels like people are not acknowledging something that I feel like is very obvious. The Steph Curry, like, mouthpiece bite or whatever.
Oh, God, I hate that one, too.
Right? Cause
put
like,
that damn mouthpiece in your
it's,
mouth.
It's similar, but it all falls in. And really, more importantly, is like the turnaround for Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why does nobody see him as a villain? Everybody treats him like he's this cute baby face tiny dude. He's 6'3", by the way.
Yeah.
Everybody treats him like he's tiny and he's cute. And he's just like this wholesome. And I'm like, he be out here nighting and dancing on people. Like, he talking is out here smack. Talking bleep on the floor. And everybody treats him like, oh, that's cute. I'm like, nah, he's out here being a killer and a jerk.
I do
Why
like,
does nobody treat him like that?
I do like when you shoot a three and turn around and just.
Doesn't even look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deion high-stepping into the end zone.
100%.
Come on. Of course.
Ray Lewis dance, pregame dance.
Yeah.
That's all over that. Yeah, all over that.
Some other ones that have come in, the Tim Hardaway Senior Killer crossover. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the AI crossover earlier. Jimmy Graham also, Duncan. That was fun. Icky Shuffle, a classic. Let's see, some other ones. The Bagwell's batting stance. I hadn't thought about batting stances.
And twirling the bat.
Yeah, I like the Jim Tomey stance where he just kind of holds the bat out for a long, for about 5-6 seconds. Then home run.
What's your signature move, Figgy?
My favorite?
Personally, do you have a signature move?
What does that even mean? What is the signature move in life?
What do you do
a
lot of?
My signature move is the Irish goodbye. No. Right? What does that mean?
Because I've got Figgy's in my mind.
Oh, really?
Figgy, okay, what is,
Figgy
I wanna hear that.
Has a signature move.
What is it?
Did you know you have a signature move?
I did not know that.
Go back and look at all your pictures at events, like picturing standing with someone.
Oh, throwing up the H?
No. Holding your shirt or your jacket and looking down rather than looking at the camera.
I would say that's a
signature move. Go back and look. Go back and look.
Oh, my goodness.
That is absolutely. Oh, I said, there goes Figgy looking down, holding his shirt or his jacket again. Honestly, kind of like this.
Honestly, I do that because I don't know what the hell to do.
That's your signature move. You didn't know you had one. You do. I'll bet you, of the pictures you take with standing with people, 30-40% of them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I guess that could be a signature move.
I know I did realize I throw up the H a lot.
I do that as well.
Yeah. Honestly, because back in the day when I used to be out with the homies, I used to always throw up the hood. So I don't do that no more. So I'm like, I got to do something. So I just try to. I wanted to throw up the peace sign.
All right, shout out to everybody letting us know what their signature move is in the bedroom. Thank you. I did not want that in particular, but I appreciate you participating.
What about stopping short and reaching when you're driving?
Oh, I was like, whoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Driving. You're driving, and then there's usually a woman in the passenger side.
I usually do that when my backpack is in.
And
the
you stop
front.
And you go, oh. That's a signature
sometimes
move.
My backpack be in the front.
I don't like what you're. I don't like what you're implying here.
I'm not implying people do it.
Wasn't there a Lions player that like hurt himself trying to save pizzas in the car that was falling over? I gotta find out which Lions player that was who injured himself in a car accident when he was trying to like driving with some pizzas in there, something like that. But it was Nate Burleson.
Nate Burleson
really hurt himself. After a car accident where he had pizza. That was in 2013. Mm-hmm. Somebody mentioned the LeBron James step back where it looks ugly, but it just works. And that got me thinking about another one real quick, which is Russell Westbrook. And we definitely have seen this a lot in Houston where, you know, he sees somebody he wants to take on and he does that clear for runway where he steps back, gives himself a runway.
And then he goes, all right.
Downhill.
What about the LeBron block? The block?
Chase down blocks. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see it. Some Billy White Shoes Johnson's brought up. The Mahomes tongue. Yuck. Carlton dance on Fresh. All right, now we're just naming stuff on TV. Very good. But yeah, shout out to Daniil Hunter, who I think
that's an unbelievably rough move to stop. Like, yeah, absolutely, it's just almost impossible.
Now Myles Garrett, I don't think he's known for this move, but the dribbling, the air dribbling.
Yeah,
to me, I will always look at him as that, even though he only did it like once or twice.
Oh yeah, that's right. Reggie White's hump, and then also Skid to My Lou, Ray Ralston with the in and out. Yeah. That was really nice. Coming on up next in the loop on Sports Radio 610, we go around the NFL where Kirk Cousins, I am willing to declare, is cooked. We'll discuss that more.